This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
On behalf of this government, for questions on that, I would refer you outside. I can tell you at this time the United States is not conducting airstrikes in Syria, but I can't go beyond that.
All right, Sarah Huckabee Sanders knocking down the questions about gas and Syria. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, and here we are again for another hour of America Tonight. And it is a huge, ghastly, awful, sickening story, but one that is too familiar. We've heard this before about Syria. The president himself said, listen, this, we can't tolerate this, and we can't tolerate this, but what is the answer here in the case of Syria? If you don't come down on Assad, Assad isn't booted out, what's going to change in Syria? I mean, it's a nasty hornet's nest that nothing changes in Syria. It gets quiet for 2 seconds, and then poof, something happens, and we hear these horrific things about innocent people, children, women, anyone who's in the way, getting gassed. And it's just jaw-dropping if you're treated to the horrible scenes there. And I think people need to see the atrocities, because when you see it, you realize, I mean, honestly, you realize the severity of it. I mean, what's at stake with this whole thing? Defense Secretary Mattis says the U.S. isn't ruling out military-style kind of airstrikes in response to this alleged use of toxic gas against their own people. I mean, it's insane. It's the worst refugee crisis since World War II. It's been 7 years. Can you believe it? And I've been here on America Tonight longer than 7 years. We've been talking about that. So we're going back to 2011, even, when things started. And how many people were imprisoned, how many people were slaughtered, you know, just this crazy amount of violence. More than half of the 20 million people that were there before the war have been displaced. Displaced children, like 8 million, are in dire need of assistance. Oof. 6 million children are just living as refugees. 2.5 are out of school. Oh, I could go on and on with the ugly numbers. So the United States started arming and providing military air cover back in 2014 for anti-Assad rebel groups who were also waging war against ISIS. If you remember, Washington started working with Syrian Kurds, who was one of the biggest partners in the fight against ISIS. And that seemed like they were turning a corner against Assad. And Russia, a longtime Syrian ally, jumped in 2015, so they helped Assad's struggling problems, his regime. Vladimir Putin wanted to assert, I guess, his foot into this and his power on the world stage, and he did. So Assad was not booted. Assad did not crumble, and instead just got stronger. So this is what we're seeing. If this is this alleged attack happens, boom, we just continue down that same road with Syria and all the displaced people and the shock and horror of it all. I think something's going to collapse here. How long it takes, what the U.S. reaction is, we may know pretty swiftly. We just might know that. I don't think the answer to this, for the U.S. anyway, or the response, is going to drag out. I do not believe that. I don't believe that. In the meantime, he is definitely on the hit list. Robert Mueller is on the hit list for sure. Because, you know, he's been in charge, the former FBI director, has been in charge of this special counsel where they're looking into Russia and the 2016 election. But now comes the word that, separate from the investigation into this alleged Russian interference in the 2016 elections, the attorney of the president, Michael Cohen, his office was tossed. The FBI raided his office. So here's what the president had to say about that raid.
This is the most biased group of people. These people have the biggest conflicts of interest I've ever seen. Democrats, just about all, either Democrats or a couple of Republicans that worked for President Obama.
All right, so it looks like more people probably get tossed. One of the things that happened was there was a lot of criticism raining down on the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, and the president said he would have never appointed the former Alabama senator if he knew that he was going to recuse himself from the Russia inquiry. He said the Attorney General has made an awful mistake, and that led to Mueller's appointment because he recused himself, and the president said a lot of people said you should fire him. We'll see what happens. I think when the president says, when President Trump says, we'll see what happens, that means you're on a short leash. You're not going to be walking along very much further. So probably Jeff Sessions is the next, one of the next to go. And then what happens with this investigation, you know, who knows, spin the wheel of fortune. It's what's really going on here? How long does that continue to drag out? And then what, if anything, is unearthed that's been looked for? What is it that may come out of this that would be jaw-dropping? Is there anything that would be jaw-dropping? I'll tell you what was jaw-dropping. Bill Cosby was in court again, and for this retrial, and as he was heading into court for opening arguments in his sexual assault retrial, a topless woman with Cosby and rapist printed on her body jumped out in front of him before she was detained by cops. So she was topless and had that covered all over her back. So she was huddled, I guess, in a bush right outside of where he was coming around the corner to go into the courthouse. So this has definitely elicited a lot of comments and reaction and all that kind of stuff. After hours of being behind closed doors, and then this protester, the retrial got underway with the opening statements, including the acknowledgement that Bill Cosby, the entertainer, had paid that Cosby paid his accuser $3.4 million in a confidential settlement a dozen years ago. And this all goes back to Andrea Constan, who said that she was assaulted at his Philadelphia home in 2004, rather. And she was a former Temple University basketball manager. She says that Cosby drugged and molested her. He says their encounter was consensual and sexual. And obviously that's the problem with this whole thing. So they did have a settlement in a civil suit, and that whole thing had been secret. And now I guess that's the money that's been, the amount of that money has been released. So they say the case, I mean, there's a lot of conversation about this because they're looking at what this jury, the whole thing with the jury and what this is going to be like after the last time around. And who knows? Who knows if it comes to that same dead end it did last time or if this jury finds differently. Stay with us. Masters and other odds and ends coming up on ATN.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Pre-order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
A few majors where obviously I've played well enough where that score would have held up at another point, or if there wasn't one other guy, but that's golf.
Anytime trying to close off a golf tournament is really hard, but to close off your first major and to do it at a place that's so close to me, being where I went to college.
So we're talking about the Masters there. You just heard some reaction, and Patrick Reed was the first one, and then Ricky Fowler, who came so close to tying Patrick Reed. So what's really crazy is Patrick Reed goes on this phenomenal run, wins this Masters tournament, plays just amazing from end to end. And it was exciting to see. He made some bomb putts. He made some incredible shots. He's incredibly talented. He certainly was. He was having a hot run, that's for sure. But you know what's interesting is there's this side drama. Besides the green jacket, there was this side drama that apparently happened with Patrick Reed's family. The whole thing was Patrick Reed doesn't care what people think, because there were fans that were kind of, you know, against him. And even though this was his shot at winning this first major, and it was at Augusta, no less, but Patrick Reed's father wasn't there. So I guess they have a division in the family, if anyone can relate to that. Can you imagine? The Reed family hasn't spoken to their son in 6 years. They have this estrangement thing happening, and the Reeds aren't welcome at his tournaments. So at one point, they were escorted off the grounds of the 2014 U.S. Open because they were asked to leave. And it's apparently the father has tried to go and watch him a few times without being noticed, but if there's any chance of him being noticed, they would pull him off of the course. So, wow. I mean, how... I guess he grew up and he was a kind of a little prodigy. They knew he was good. He grew up in San Antonio. And he practiced with plastic balls and all kinds of things. Even not too far from a stone's throw away from where our plush studios are in McKinney, Texas, they would go up and to Hank Haney's ranch, who Hank Haney used to be the coach for a while, a long while, for Tiger Woods. And he had this, he definitely had this talent, and it was watched and all that kind of stuff. And poof, apparently there was some discord between the family and Patrick, and that was it. And wow, that has to be a wild feeling that your son wins this big golf tournament and you are just not invited. Not allowed in, period. So we start with that sports story because the Masters, just for grins, I'm going to let you know, in odds and ends, the Masters is the hardest ticket in sports to get. How about that? Did you know that? Yeah, beg, borrow, or steal. That's what it is if you want to get into the Masters. Please, please, anybody have a ticket? That's what it is. It's like, I remember I went to a Dead concert. I wasn't around in the real Dead era, but it was sort of like the extra Dead when they were touring in the, I want to say it was like the 90s. And maybe it was the late, early, mid, maybe it was the mid-90s. And I was a kid and I can remember being at this concert and I knew nothing about the Dead culture. Except for the people were begging for tickets, and they would say, I need a miracle, I need a miracle, and that's what it was. So, yeah, I don't know how I make that leap and that analogy, just that the tickets to get for the Masters, people have to beg, borrow, or steal to get them is the truth. And in the case of the Dead, it was kind of the same thing, that people would just begged to get into some of these big concerts because they were such crazy, crazy sellouts, I guess. Let's put it that way. All right, let's pop around to some odds and ends. How about this? It seems like now everything is being questioned when it comes to stereotypes and whatnot, including Apu, who is a character on The Simpsons. The Simpsons have been around since the 80s. On Sunday night, The Simpsons responded to criticism that the character Apu is an offensive stereotype with a dismissive nod that earned the show more criticism. So they didn't help themselves there because while that's going on, right? And here's what the thing is. The character is popular, like all the Simpsons characters. And the, you know, he's got a thick Indian accent, and, you know, Hank Azaria is the voice of the convenience store owner, and there has been this criticism that he's racist, and there was a documentary made called The Problem with Apu. The documentary made some points, and Azaria says, hey, we're thinking about it. He said the situation was upsetting. So on Sunday night, The Simpsons, they've been in 29 seasons. They finally did respond. There was just kind of a dismissive nod. And the episode was called No Good Reed Goes Unpunished. And it was about this a book called The Princess in the Garden. And they were attempting to make it inoffensive for 2018. So, at one point, the little girl turns directly to the TV audience and says, something that started decades ago and was applauded and is inoffensive is now politically incorrect. What can you do? Then the shot pans to a framed picture of Apu, this Indian convenience store owner character, and it says, it has a line that says, don't have a cow. Oh, of course they were going to do that. The writers, they just decided, Matt Groening, the show's creator, got massive backlash for that. massive backlash for doing that. I mean, again, this is comedy having these problems where they're struggling with what people think is offensive these days. All right, quickly, let's go out to Izzy. Hello, Izzy.
Hi, Kate.
Hello.
Did I hear Grimm the other night?
Yes, Grimm has called in a few times.
Yeah, I've been gone, so I thought, oh my God, Grimm is back.
Yeah, he's saying he's pumped up. He sounded a lot better.
Has he been sick?
He was sick, yeah, and he sounds good now.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I have a thing in my throat.
Uh-oh.
Well, I've been in and out of the hospital.
Oh, are you better? How do you feel right now?
Get in there. Had one surgery down, one to go. But I know now. Remember the challenge I gave you and your hubby about gardening?
Yes.
Boy, did Paul open up a can of worms, or in this case, maybe a bucket of potatoes.
Yes, he had to be on his grandfather's farm and get those potatoes. Yes.
No, because I grow potatoes in a bucket. That's going to be his challenge. Get a 5-gallon bucket, and I'll tell him how to do it.
Okay.
And grow potatoes, and your challenge is going to be cayenne pepper.
Oh, that sounds harder.
No, actually, they're not.
Okay, cayenne pepper. Got it. I'm writing this down.
And they're wonderful.
Oh, I like pepper. Cayenne pepper, that sounds good to me. And the potatoes, that's good. That's two good choices.
Well, it's not that difficult, really.
Do you do it?
Yeah, I don't know if you do it, because I know how long it takes to grow this, because I grow a bucket of potatoes. I haven't for 2 years because I couldn't lift them. And by the way, Paul, I used to haul hay like you wouldn't believe in my horses.
Wow, so, you are something. You are the all-around. You are. You win the award for everything, Izzy. The things that you had never... You own it. You did so many things between the kids and everything you did. You just do it. You don't complain. You don't whine. So I'm telling Paul, Izzy, feel better. We got our thoughts, positive thoughts going your way. I'm going to tell him about the 5-gallon bucket of potatoes he's got to grow, and I'll do the cayenne pepper. Stay with us, everybody.
I cried. You wiped it dry. I was confused. You cleared my mind.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, $1,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
What a pleasure to be joined by Anton Gunn, who, boy, we have people in common, Greg. I was so psyched when I brushed up to him at the Authority Summit in Charleston.
Brushed up? Were there spilled drinks in this brush up? Or I mean,
no, somebody,
that's so visual.
I was right near him at a dinner, and people know me that are listening to this, and somebody introduced us, and all of a sudden I realized he's a member of the National Speakers Association,
Okay.
And I'm the president of the National Speakers Association in Dallas, and we knew a lot of mutual people.
And Anton is, his company is the president, well, you are the presidential leadership specialist.
That's what I am.
Kate is a president.
She is.
Yes.
And I can definitely specialize in helping her to be a better president.
So you
nice.
You can add her to the list of presidents that you have had a close working
yes,
relationship with.
Yes, I can add her.
Tell us about some of the presidents you've worked with.
Okay, so I'll start backwards and go forwards.
Okay.
So the first encounter as a 17-year-old, I was able to meet Vice President Dan Quayle at an event in Norfolk, Virginia, and I was a 17-year-old. I won't tell the long story, but it involves the Secret Service and not a good way.
Ooh.
And me.
Ooh.
And I learned a valuable lesson from George Herbert Walker Bush and Dan Quayle.
Literally,
as
like
a 17-year-old.
From them,
yes.
Like they taught you a lesson.
Well, the Secret Service that works with them
I
taught
see.
Me
okay,
a lesson.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I learned a lot. The context for me was about.
Okay, what did you do?
Come on, we're not going to like not ask.
Come
what
on,
did you do?
What happened?
Okay, so the long story short, my dad was a Navy veteran. I come from a long family of military men, and my father was in the Navy. He went to Desert Storm while I was 17 years old. I was being recruited by every college in the country to play football, and I wanted my dad to go on my visits with me as I made my decision where I was going to school. But he went to war. And when he went to war, George Herbert Walker Bush sent Dan Quayle around the country to do speeches to tell family members to support their loved ones during the war. And so he says he's coming to Norfolk, Virginia. He's going to give this great speech about why we needed to stop Saddam Hussein and why it was important for my dad and his ship to go be a part of the campaign to protect Kuwait. But I didn't care about any of that because I'm 17. Okay?
And he's your dad.
And he's my dad.
Come on,
my dad.
He's your
dad. I want to play football.
And you're going to play football.
That's right. That's all I cared about. So he gets there, and he's walking in, getting ready to go up on stage.
He is Dan Quayle.
Yes, Dan Quayle. And so a reporter says to me, what are you here for? I said, because my dad's on the ship. And she says, well, don't you wonder why President Bush is not here? I says, yeah, I do wonder why President Bush is not here. He's the one that made the decision. He's the executive that made the decision to send our troops to war. He should be here. And the reporter says, well, don't you think it's really funny that he sent Dan Quayle? I was like, no, he's the vice president. He's the second best. He's the number two leader of our nation. She said, but he was a draft dodger during Vietnam, and he didn't go to war. And I said, say what? And she says, yeah. And so I'm this 17-year-old kid, happy that my dad's going to war.
I'm afraid now.
Yes, you should be. 17-year-old kid. I'm 6'5". I'm 225 pounds. Hearing Dan Quayle give this speech about supporting the troops and why we should go to war, and I felt like he was a hypocrite, that he wants my dad to go and serve, but he couldn't serve. So I'm getting more and more angry. And I'm a hip-hop kid, so I got Public Enemy playing in the back of my mind. Right? I'm ready to do something. So he finishes his speech. He comes down the stairs, and he does what all presidential leaders do. He walks the rope line, and he's shaking hands.
Tell me you didn't tackle
so
him.
I said,
tell me you didn't tackle him.
It's close.
Okay.
So I said, I want to give him a piece of my mind. I don't appreciate the lack of authenticity of you not going to war but wanting my dad to go. So as he's walking down the rope line, I use my 6'5 frame and elbows to move my way up into the rope line. And I'm standing there, and when he comes by, I'm going to shake his hand and tell him how important my dad is to me. And he gets to me, and he holds out his hand, and I shake his hand. But like typical politicians on a rope line, he's not looking at me. He's talking to somebody else. So he's giving them all the attention. He's not paying me any attention. And so I'm getting frustrated that he's talking to somebody else and not talking to me. But I'm holding his hand. So I squeeze his hand, and I snatched his arm, and I screamed at him, I want my... And before I could get the third word out of my mouth, I got tackled by two Secret Service agents who drug me out of the room and put me in the car. And they found out that I was just an angry 17-year-old kid who wanted his dad to be with him on his recruiting visits, and they let me go. But the lesson that I teach with that is that as a leader, if you lead an organization, you should always show up. Never send a substitute to deliver difficult news to the people that you lead.
Yep.
And so that's the first principle that I teach for any leader in any organization, that when it comes to making difficult decisions, you got to make them, and you should show up to deliver the news. Never send a surrogate. The second lesson is always be careful of the press and the media, because that reporter hyped me up and made me make a bad decision that really could have ended up in a worse place for me.
Right. So did this story end up being in the media?
Not at all.
So that reporter totally failed.
Yes.
She hyped you up and
she
didn't
sure
even
did.
Get the
and
scoop.
Didn't even get the scoop.
What a loser.
Yes.
Who was that?
Yeah.
That's better for him than
it was. I would not be doing the things that I was doing today had that gone the other way.
You know what other lesson I take away from this? And then we're going to move on to your other presidents.
Sure.
My other lesson is do not mess with Anton John.
That's a good message.
Look at his guns. And you know what? And
I got big guns.
He shakes his hand much nicer now.
Yes.
He said that. When he talked about he wanted to play football, Greg, what you don't know, but I know, is you cannot believe, I know we're going to go through presidents, you can't believe the people he played football with that have peppered different rosters in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah,
and he played for South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So, yes, a lot of Gamecocks in the NFL, played with a lot of great guys. And a beautiful experience. And so I made that decision after that event, went to South Carolina to play football. And my second president, of course, is William Jefferson Clinton. And it's an unfortunate experience of how I got to meet him on October 20th, 2000. 8 days before October 20th, my younger brother, Sharon, who joined the Navy just like my father did, was killed in a terrorist attack aboard the USS Cole on October 12, 2000. And that devastated me. It devastated my family. I was angry. I had all kinds of questions about what was going on in the world. Because remember, this is before 9/11. This is before all of that. And so most of us didn't know who Al-Qaeda was or Osama bin Laden. It was like peaceful. The only thing bad that happened in 2000 was Y2K. And everybody was worried about their computers not working. Yes. But otherwise, it was a great year. But my brother was killed on a Thursday morning at 11:18 a.m. in Yemen on the other side of the world. And my life and my family was devastated. And we had no answers. And we were very angry. I was yelling at a lot of military officers about how could something like this happen? The ship is a billion-dollar ship with all kinds of weaponry on it. How do you let two men in a skiff pull up beside a boat and blow a 40-by-40-foot hole to kill my brother and 16 of his shipmates and injure 39? I didn't understand. I was very angry. And I was demanding answers. And none of the leaders there could give me answers. The Admiral of the United States Navy couldn't give answers. The captains and the commanders couldn't give answers. And we were brought to a hall in Norfolk, Virginia, where I grew up. And we were put in this room, and they told us to stay here. You're going to get some answers. And I was like, well, I want some answers, and I want them now.
How old are you?
I'm, at this time, 27 years old.
Oh, so you're even beyond college.
Yeah, beyond college. Okay. I'm out of college. And in walks the door is Bill Clinton as president of the United States. And what I didn't know, he was in Egypt 16 hours before trying to negotiate peace between Palestine and Israel, some accord that they were trying to put together. And he got on a plane and flew 16 hours straight from Egypt to Norfolk, Virginia, and came right in, bloodshot eyes, walked in and says, I want to answer all of your questions about what happened. And the lesson that I took away from that is that a leader always shows up when the people are in need. And he showed up for me. And he stood there with me and my mom and my brothers. And he talked to us for 20 minutes. He wanted to know who my brother was. He wanted to know what was his name. What did he enjoy? What was his favorite things? And he stayed there. He brought not only himself, but the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Hugh Shelton. He brought Janet Reno, the attorney general, to say that we're going to investigate and track down these terrorists and solve the problem. They were there with me. And so I took the principle away is that whatever crisis happens in your organization, the leader needs to be there. So if you run a hospital and, you know, there's a tornado that runs through town, you got to be there for your staff. If your staff has to be there to triage and save lives, you need to be there to triage and save lives, the people who work in the organization. And that's the second president. And it was from that time, at the end of his presidency, that my life was completely different because of this terrorist attack. It really showed me some things that I wasn't aware of before about our government and about the world and all kinds of things. And Bill Clinton left office a month later, really 3 months later after that attack. And we didn't have the terrorists. We didn't have Osama bin Laden. We didn't know where he was. And so our family wanted more answers. And we wanted leaders to be authentic, to be accountable, and to engage us to find a solution. But the next administration, George W. Bush, made a decision that they weren't going to engage with us. And so for 11 months after the Cole attack, we couldn't get a return phone call from any leader in his administration. And it made us angry, it made us sad. And we all know what happened 11 months later. And it's because we didn't finish the job. We didn't investigate what happened with the USS Cole. And all of these leaders at the Justice Department will tell you in every book that is written now, had we investigated the USS Cole,
we would have known.
We would have mitigated some of 9/11. Not stopped it, maybe, but we would have known more than what we know.
Right.
And so the lesson I take away from that is that no matter whether you were in the job before or not, a leader always finishes the job.
Mm.
Bill Clinton should have finished the job, and George Bush should have finished the job. And for 8 years, my family never, ever got the opportunity to talk to the president about what happened on the USS Cole for 8 years, just kind of left us to the wolves, if you will. But what I learned from that is a lesson of how I should be as a leader. And as a leader, you have to be the person who not only serves but empowers and does your part to leave a legacy that's focused on people.
Thank you, Anton Gunn. Tomorrow, we look forward to talking to him about working in the Obama administration. That's Forbes Books at Bedtime.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Aging is one thing that affects everyone. George has talked about the power of stem cells for years. Now, there's a new serum that harnesses that stem cell power to bring back your youthful look. Beverly Hills doctor, Nathan Newman.
Stem cells are basically our fountain of youth. This is what maintains our body's reparative, regenerative abilities. As we age, every cell breaks down and needs to be replaced, and what replaces it is the stem cell.
Dr. Newman and Jeunesse have developed Lumines. Lumines takes the science of stem cells using the same growth factor complex that literally heals our cells, slowing the appearance of the aging process. Apply Lumines twice daily and on average see results in a week. Learn more, watch our video, and order today at a special Coast website, healthylooking.com. Plus, there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's healthylooking.com. Lumines for a healthier, much younger, better-looking you. Buy now at healthylooking.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
So thrilled to welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime, Steve Forbes. Does he need an introduction? No. Are you kidding? I have to tell him this right at the start. One of the first magazines, Steve, that I got when I was a kid, you talked about what your father did to teach you about business. Well, what my grandfather did was he handed me a Forbes magazine when I think I was about 8 years old. So thrilled to have you on with us.
Well, good to be with you, and glad you had such a wise grandfather. And obviously, reading Forbes, you look like a very bright person.
Thank you, Sierra.
I will vouch for her as well.
Yes, thank you very much. So I heard you speak today, and we were talking about what's on everybody's mind, of course, the tax bill. And you talked about how arduous it was, so many pages, et cetera, et cetera. But you also talked about that this is a good first step. And I'm kind of taking a shortcut here and paraphrasing what you said. But explain that to the listeners.
Well, it looked like the proverbial making of the sausage, not a very edifying sight, but the bill overall does more good than harm. Finally gets our tax rates on businesses back to where the rest of the world is, which will make us very competitive again, get more investment, which is how you get a higher standard of living. On the personal side, they could have done it better. I think they will in a couple of years. I see this as a down payment, not the be-all, end-all on tax bills. So see it as the first step of many to come.
And always you've been a big advocate for a flat tax, and I have to say I've read so much and listened to you speak about it, and you've certainly converted me. Do you think we will ever see a flat tax?
I think in several years the answer is yes, as it becomes clear that this current tax code just gets more and more complex, more and more corrupt, more and more of a burden on people. And people will see when you reduce the burden, not only of the tax rates themselves, but also the compliance costs, they'll say, we should have done this a long time ago.
Are there things we should be doing as citizens and as business owners beyond just calling our Congress people to help move it towards a flat tax? Do you think that there's action
we
can take?
The key thing is with your social networks is to get them to also get in contact with their representatives, ask questions, make it very clear this is an issue that is bubbling among the people. And eventually our leaders, so-called, will get the message.
Right now, what would you say, and you talked about this a little bit, weaved it in and out of what you spoke about at the summit, but talking about the state of Republicans and, of course, coming up the midterms, et cetera, is it going to be abysmal for Republicans, or what do you think?
Well, the economy will help in most of the country. I think taking away state and local deductions the way they did it will hurt Republicans. And there are some left in blue states like New York, New Jersey, and California. So they did themselves unnecessary harm by the way they did this. But the key thing, too, is that people are so focused on Trump's style rather than the substance. And so they got to get back to the substance, and then I think they've got a good shot.
Kate and I are here at the Authority Summit in Charleston, South Carolina. We're with Steve Forbes. This is Forbes Books at Bedtime. It's such a great thrill to have you with us, Mr. Forbes. I am wondering if you think we could have reached this point of tax reform sooner had there been a Republican in office in the last 4 or the last 8 years.
The answer is yes. But we can't ignore the fact that we've had Republican presidents who have not pushed major changes in the tax code. So I blame Democrats, but also Republicans for being too timid. So there's no place for cowardly lions. We need roaring lions, and I think we're finally getting a bit of that back.
I'd be remiss not to ask you this because, Steve, I get asked this all the time. What do I think of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies? What do you think of cryptocurrencies?
The way cryptocurrencies work today is that they're not money. When you have something that fluctuates in value, it can't be money. If you got paid in Bitcoin as a worker, that would be great, but your employer would go out of business. If you had a house with a mortgage of $350,000 in Bitcoin 4 or 5 years ago, you'd owe the bank today $49 million. So it's not going to work. The promise of these cryptocurrencies, until they make it stable, they won't be money, but they are developing the technology that will radically simplify the whole payment system, and it'd be a great boon for the consumer. So it's the tech side rather than the money side.
We are here at the Authority Summit. It's authority-summit.com. We're with Steve Forbes. This is Forbes Books and Forbes Books Radio. This is Forbes Books at Bedtime. I want to ask you about this notion of authority, because many people are thinking, oh, what a bold new idea, and yet I tend to think that the idea of authority to a Forbes has been around for about 100 years.
Well, authority comes from people believing you're offering something that is good for them or you know what you're talking about. So that's why we're working on the book side. It's a way of establishing your authority, that you have a expertise in a certain area and are worth paying attention to.
On that note, I want to say it's been a pleasure doing a Forbes book. My book, Deal With Your Own Destiny, Steve, comes out in March. So thank you so much for that. The connection just to your name has been tremendous, and bringing it back to when I was a kid, again, what a thrill.
Well, thank you, Kate, and I look forward to the introduction formally in March of your great new book. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
Wow, just terrific to get a chance to catch up with Steve Forbes. You think about his background, back in the 80s, President Ronald Reagan appointed him as the head of the Board of International Broadcasting. And he also, in his storied history, helped Christine Todd Whitman's plan for a 30% cut in New Jersey's income tax over 3 years. And it was really her her major boost in her win over the incumbent Governor James Florio. And then, of course, he entered into the Republican primaries for the President of the United States back in 1996 and 2000, and primarily, is what I talked to him about there, running a campaign to establish a flat tax. He also, at the time, if you remember, because so much was being discussed then about this, and of course still is, he also supported the idea of reintroducing the 4.5% mortgages and term limits as well in 96. It's interesting, when he ran for prez those two times, he sold a little bit of Forbes Inc. voting shares to other family members to help finance that run, because you know how much it costs. We've talked about it. It's crazy how much it costs to run for president. Even now, so much more than then. And you know, he had some popular ideas. I really remember liking some of what he had to say when he was running, but he didn't come too close to the Republican nomination, although he did win the Arizona and Delaware primaries in the 90s, if you remember that. And he supported, besides flat tax, free trade, health savings accounts. That's another thing that he talked about a lot. And also allowing people, we talk about Social Security payroll taxes, allowing people to opt out 75% of Social Security payroll taxes into personal retirement accounts. There was conversation about what's going to happen, and there still is that conversation. But to me, the flat tax, I love the whole flat tax plan. And I said it there. He really convinced me about that, because I remember him talking about a flat tax of 17% on all personal and corporate earned income. So unearned income, like pensions, inheritances, savings, etc., would be exempt. But he supported keeping the first 33,000 of income exempt from that, too. So pretty interesting. I don't know. I thought he was really on to something. And I think there are a lot of people that embrace the idea of a flat tax. And I don't know if we'll see it in my lifetime. I mean, who knows how the span of my life. But I do think that that's going to come back around again. I really do, because of the frustrations of the struggle over what's happening with taxes, even still, and taking the ball and moving it a step forward. I believe that eventually what happens, the benefits of the flat tax, I think, outweigh some of what people are still trying desperately to cling to. So, again, just amazing to have a chance to spend some time with Steve Forbes and listen to him and listen to his funny. He's a very witty guy. Listen to some of his stories about his father, Malcolm, and what he did to really teach them about business when they were kids and what that was like. And just his sort of zest, I think, or excitement over business and where business is headed. And certainly you can see that when you see him on television, which every week he's on TV, he's always talking to Neil Cavuto. And I got that real sense that he loves doing that, and he loves the flat tax. And I agree. Again, what a thrill. Steve Forbes.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Healthcare reform is confusing, but whether it's finding an affordable insurance plan, keeping your doctor, or being able to afford needed prescriptions, navigating the healthcare system has become a challenge. Control your own healthcare costs and choices with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of each other's medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.